Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It's your boy on a Saturday. It happens from time to time where talent can't make it, but you know what? I love the opportunity to talk to y'all. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend the next hour covering some of the hot sports news, just some concepts and ideas, things that are going on as well. 402-464-5685. That lets you know we're actually live. So you don't have to worry about it. You can contribute. And this would be a really good day that if you want to. I get asked all the time, why don't you you know, have a show where you just answer questions. Well, I'll offer that today. If you're out and around, you're driving around, and you have questions about a particular sports thing, or maybe it's just, you know, music or whatever it is. But over the course of the next hour, we're going to full range. And if you know me, that when I get on some of the one-on-ones and it's just me, I could end up down any rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
any rabbit hole. that we can go down, we will go down over the course of this thing. So a couple of things. 402-464-5685 is the Sarta Hammond text line. If you want to be a part of this next hour, greatly appreciate you. At 1 o'clock, we're going to run. Ben had a sit down with the folks from UBT.
Yep.
Some great opportunities to answer questions about financial literacy, conversations to have with your young people. And if you're young people, questions to ask people with knowledge of some answers. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of resources that are available. And that's a really good thing that they do, is providing resource. They may not directly resolve your issue or answer your question.
They know where to go.
They can send you to the right places. So that's important. And Kurt Rohn came in, and they've been really good over the course of the year supporting our coverage of Lincoln High School sports, the Supernovas, et cetera. And then what they do in the community is across the board exceptional. We'll go through some hot topics as well. And then I'll use it today as an opportunity to kind of set the tone for some things that in the space of financial literacy, there are several assumptions made about my situation. And there are people that think, you know, man, how does this happen? Well, to tell you that from a financial literacy standpoint, my background is such that there were no finances to be literal, to have literacy about. Mm. There's an assumption that people all share the same information. We know from our own space, and we think everybody, what we live as a norm is common. That the people in Columbus, Nebraska, and the people in from Arlington, Virginia, and the people from Los Angeles, California, and the people from Atlanta, Georgia, and the people from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the people from Chicago, Illinois, that they're all the same. Mm-hmm. That they all have the same experience. They all have the same knowledge. And that's just not true. And so we have to get on common ground to understand that systemically, there are people who have had access to information, and living near a college town certainly has some advantages in pushing buttons, being able to create a curiosity. Maybe there's some information out there that I don't know. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was, I came from a big family, but we were not well off. So when you had conversations about savings, they were different conversations than people who had money. Mm. We we weren't in the saving business. We were in the survival business. We were trying to have enough for right now.
Paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's not even paycheck to paycheck. It's day to day, action to action, trying to figure out how, where is the next meal coming from? Not about where the next set of meals are coming from. It is from being in a negative environment where there is no surplus. There's no bank. There's none of that. And so there are people in the country who, quite frankly, are asking for information. And it's pretty informative to know that there are people out there. I had to find people around me, and Becky is a great resource because she has access to greater resources than I ever had. And she has an insight that I don't have. We work differently. I am a creative thinker. She's a linear thinker. Mm-hmm. And so she works from the process. I work from the energy. Like I need to, like I'm creative and I can see a thing that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I can take a thing that exists and color it up and draw it up. Becky is a mover of ideas, concepts, and operations.
Getting it done.
Right. And she has a line to get it done. And I'll come up with an idea and she'll say, okay, that's a good idea, but here are the potholes, here are the detours, here's the friction. And then I figure out from that, okay, stay focused, be the GPS. It says you're trying to accomplish this thing. It appears you're doing something else, or maybe you got distracted. It's an important thing.
I can tell you, I can totally tell that from being around you guys.
Yeah,
I mean, that literally makes sense.
Well, but I mean, most things are better from both ends of the spectrum in the middle.
Neither one is right.
Yeah, it's always, well, no, we're both right.
You need, I know. Well, you know what I mean.
In our own space,
neither one is wrong.
Right. Well, I jokingly say that in sports talk radio, you when asking for opinion, you can't be wrong in your opinion, but the likelihood that you get it 100% right is minimal. Mm-hmm. If you're talking facts, then, or knowledge, a thing that you actually experienced, you're right. If you're talking about how you believe a thing exists or how it works, if you're not speaking about actually how it works, you're just giving an opinion.
Yeah.
And in sports talk radio, I try to tell people, and part of why I choose different spectrums of people who work here, people who know, who through knowledge have played the game, practiced, built their bodies up, figured out how to recover, knew what to eat. Can tell you how meetings existed, how game plans work, those things. And the other side of it are people who may not have that sort of knowledge, but they have a curiosity about all of those things. My thing is that you don't have to play the game to know and love the game. There's a part of the game that only people who play it can know. Mm-hmm. So you need those people to keep the people who don't know in check. You need to tell us, you know what? That's not how that works. I know how you think it works. Here's how it actually works. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, to have fans who become scholars of it, and I don't need students of it. I need scholars of it. Mm. People who are obsessive.
There's the difference.
Right? The obsessive person who wants to go in and say, okay, I heard the person who knows. Now I need to understand. And there are not enough people who want to understand. They want to know enough to feel like they know enough. Mm. But then there are people who are obsessive about a thing and the idea and the concept, the operation, the heart behind it, the action behind it, the result of it.
Yeah.
Right. And we can get caught up in all of the different things. Right. So it's amazing in that from the text line, I do want, and again, we'll bounce off it. Said, who do you think raises Lord Stanley Cup? Listen, so I'm a much bigger hockey fan than I lead on.
Really?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I go through, so I'm a DC kid.
Yes.
And hockey in DC when I was a kid, when I was young. it existed in a space where there were fewer teams, so you knew more about those teams. Expansion does a thing. It's growth and it has reach, but it was much easier for me to know the Mahavlovich brothers, for me to know Bobby Orr and his tendencies, Phil Esposito, Gary Cheevers, to know what was happening in Hockey Town with Gordie Howe and the Red Wings, to understand what the Blackhawks and Bobby Hull were going through, because it was concentrated. And the NFL was that way. The NBA was that way. There were fewer teams, and it was a higher level of talent at the bottom of the NHL and the NBA and the NFL because there were fewer people who were allowed in the space. It was more elite. It was more elite that if in a day where there were eight hockey teams or eight NBA teams, that means there were 95 pros. Mm-hmm. The 95 best players in the world played in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're over 200, it doesn't say that you're not the best. But listen, there are guys at the bench who don't have every skill, but they have some.
Yeah.
So you find roles for them.
They master it.
Right? In D.C., they got the Caps in the 70s. And here's the thing. They weren't good. They were not good. There was some substantial losing going on with the Caps. This was a bad franchise. Single-digit seasons. Single-digit winning seasons.
Not good.
Right? First year, 1974. And it was expansion, and it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
So it said they were awarded the franchise in 72. They joined the season in 1974-75. They were owned at the time by a Poland who also owned the Bullets. And they played, I was in Northern Virginia. They were playing in Landover, Maryland, which is a 30-minute drive across the bridge. That's kind of how the DMV works. And we would, if you were a hockey fan in DC, you became a Caps fan. But you were a hockey fan because of the other teams.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I needed to know, like, who the Boston Bruins were and the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
Right? There were a lot of the franchises that exist now didn't exist then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you saw, and you got maybe one night of hockey back in the 70s.
Okay.
Like, there wasn't a lot of.
Yeah.
Television, again, three channels.
Yeah. So like every sport.
Right. But it was Canada-based.
Mm-hmm.
It was not, this was not the American sport.
Yeah.
It was, thank goodness for the Philadelphia Flyers and the Broad Street Bullies, right? Because they gave us some personality to deal with. And where hockey has evolved and what it has evolved to is, it's so cyclical. There are no dominant franchises who will go on a run. Like, you'll have a series, and you'll have a couple of years where you're doing well. But young talent and the evolution of developing talent in hockey, oh my goodness, the octopus has long reach now because it's an international game. There's an international pool of talent. That you have to go over to Europe and really seek. You have to really dig. The finesse of hockey, as it currently stands in the NHL, there is a more athletic game being played. It used to be a cerebral game. Then it was a physical game. And it evolves.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is more, there's more movement. Hockey is the NHL is now a space sport. And by that, I mean spacing is vital.
Mm-hmm.
Proper spacing is vital. What Edmonton does is they take advantage of the athletes that they have in space, and they put the puck on the stick of the most athletic players at the most critical times. Florida is more consistent. in that they run what they run, they get their shots from where they get their shots, and they defend in a way that makes sense for them. Not everybody can defend the way Florida does. And then them in the special teams, you know, penalty killing, being able to do that. This series should have been over. There's no way this series should still be going on. Edmonton should have been eliminated game four, game five.
Yeah, Florida was dominating.
It was just, and Florida's been exceptional in the last years of being consistent and being good in critical moments. Their playmakers are better in crisis than everybody else's, except Florida has gotten a come up, and it's been fun to watch. So this series has been so good that it made me watch more. Because I kept thinking, oh, wow, like, this is going to be a beatdown. I was comparing it to Boston-Dallas in the NBA.
Yeah.
That Boston was the better team, and this is how this was going to go.
All you had to do was watch. And you could tell.
And I thought, this was crazy. Dalton goes, wait, what? I always get negative feedback when I ask you guys to talk about the playoffs. No, you don't ask me about the playoffs.
You may be asking the wrong
people. You're asking the wrong people. Look, And again, I keep explaining to folks during one-on-one that we go down several rabbit holes because it's a chance for listeners to be heard in full.
Like, I feel like you're talking about anything.
Like the best.
Almost anything.
Well, I am a sports guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who say they're sports guys. No, there are people on the station who are football people. There are some that are Husker football people. There are some that love baseball. There are some that love Husker sports. There are some that love Creighton. I'm beholden and responsible for knowing as much about everything as humanly possible. And it's always been that way. Mm-hmm. I'm not a former pro athlete. So my way into this door, and again, a place like the Ticket didn't exist in the 70s.
Mm.
It didn't exist. There wasn't a place where the person, you had to find, there was a small, again, the NBA, the sports conversation, that it was a smaller pool of job opportunities.
Yeah. You think it's small now. It was smaller back then.
Well, listen, we expanded from four shows to 52 shows giving people opportunity in Lincoln, Nebraska to talk about what they love. I'm not asking them all to know everything, especially when it is the student athlete. I need the student athlete to focus. First thing first, you're a student and you're an athlete. Those are first things first. The hour that you come in here, I want you to share the other thing. Tell me about you being a student and an athlete. If you're a scholar athlete, tell me about being a scholar and being an athlete. For fans, why would you not speak out about what you love? That's the whole point of this. We have people that told me, listen, we want to hear about UFC. Okay, we're going to talk UFC. We have people who say, we want to hear about pro wrestling. Okay, we'll give you pro wrestling shows. We talk about bowling. We talk about soccer. We talk about swimming and diving and going into the greater details of what it takes to be a swimmer and a diver, especially at the high level and at the University of Nebraska. I would spend my winters in Reykjavik, Iceland, because the Caps would send their broadcast team over to Iceland to lecture and to, you know, kind of be available. So I would go with the great, so one of the best hockey NHL announcers, Joe Beninati, for the Caps, and that broadcast team of him and Craig Lachlan. Well, Lockers, you know, he puts the biscuit in the basket. And they would teach me more about the game than anybody else. Now, Rocky Russo, that's why we have a Stars show. Mm-hmm. Because not only are they explaining hockey, but they're breaking down the process, how young stars become NHL players, where they're from, who got them to the point where they were good enough to play for the Lincoln Stars. Like, because all of that's a story. Every single, like Blake Montgomery is, look, he went to high school with my daughter and he's playing for the Lincoln Stars, but he comes from a hockey family and a person of color from the DMV who manages to put himself on the national hockey level stage on the way to the NHL. Those stories have to be told. Hockey does a really good job of doing that. So if you're, I don't care what hockey team you love. If you love hockey, you have a home at the ticket. Like I've offered that. I have a buddy, Steve LaGenessa, back in DC, who he and I did a, back before you could do podcasts, we did a radio show, a local radio show in DC about hockey. And we would go on the road and we would go to Philly and we'd go to Boston and we'd go to, you know, we'd drive up and down the coast. And this was before Carolina had a team, and then Carolina got a team, and then that made it easier for us for have another place. But the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think there's some tweaking that should be done in how they seed and reseed or not reseed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply in-app only.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
And then the networks that they chose to deal with, because there's a time when Gary Bettman just did everything as difficult as possible. When he could have put it on the networks, paid the difference, made the additional revenue, and given the sport exposure and love that it should have had. But Bettman's a different dude. The NHL, one, making a decision, one, to get it on a prominent network, and then two, making sure that they weren't on a night when it was, you're competing against College World Series and you're competing against NBA Finals and you're, no, alternate with them. Like dance to where the NHL got the spotlight. And here's the deal. I can make a promise. Next year on the ticket, there will be a hockey show. There will be a hockey show. Once a week, there'll be a hockey show. And there's enough, and I mean, the Stars will have their show. And truth be told, without, as they say, without talking outside of school, that the Stars should be on the ticket. Their game should be on the ticket.
Yeah, you've brought that up before.
Their game should be on the ticket so that hockey fans have a place. Like we work with them to get, one, get more people aware of the Stars, who the people are, who the players are. Two, get them, give them more reason to get into the ice box and have a reason to know who they're going to root for and to be a part of it. But also in that circle, we're going to find our people who love talking hockey. And that's how we're going to do it.
All right.
That's how we're going to do it. So we'll throw it a break. I'll take more of the, of your texts if you have them. 402-464-5685. DP, been on a Saturday in Lincoln, Nebraska on the ticket.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back. One-on-One on a Saturday. DP, Ben's with me running the board. Appreciate that.
Hello.
Hello. Ben, as we talk about it again, we'll go all over the place on these one-on-ones, especially when it's just us sitting in the room. But,
one-on-one.
Yeah, Harrison's figured out that he has to buckle up when I'm like, if I'm doing a one-on-one and I don't have a guest, if I have a guest, it's an easy hour.
Yeah, he just presses the on button for the mics and
let it go. Let it go. But if I'm here by myself, you would go down. I mean, it's any rabbit hole. And, but it's also, and I've been told this before, and I need to honor it because I have there are listeners who have asked, you know, hey, have an Ask DP hour. Like where we can just literally ask questions because there's a lot of stuff in play. Yeah. And this is what we used it for. Back to the text line. BIB, how you doing, bro? It says it takes a special breed of human to play hockey, but to play goalie is extraordinary. Those guys are touched in the head, if you ask me. Yeah, so Donnie Beaupre and Ron Lowe were the Caps' first star goalies, and then Olaf Kozik, Ole the goalie, also had a major run in D.C. while I was there. And meeting goalies, we were talking yesterday about that there are different sports that have special players, special positions that don't really exist in another. Like a pitcher having the ball in his hand, standing behind the rubber, the mental process of a pitcher knowing that he controls the outcome of this game more than anybody else. A pitcher, that the pitcher, as he is about to tell the rubber, that he has to know pitch for pitch, throw for throw, batter for batter, he has control of the game, how this is gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
Catchers also fall into that category. And then quarterbacks. Mm. Quarterbacks in football, there are 22 pieces that they chess pieces that they have to be aware of at all times. Goalies in hockey, and goalies in soccer, because if you talk to Hauk, Sarah Hauk, in her discussions, she's really clear about the process of staying. It's much more difficult for her mentally than it is physically. Mm. The physical demands of playing goalie, are different than the mental ones.
Yeah, I've talked to Sammy Hawk before.
Yeah, and Sammy's got a great foundation for how she approaches playing goalie. And again, getting beat in soccer or hockey as a goalie is a different deal. Each one processes it differently.
Yeah, there's so much of it where, I mean, when I talk to her, it's like you can just take so much of the blame on yourself. You do. And then when she wins, then she praises all of her teammates and she doesn't give herself back enough credit. I feel like it's like, you know, when they lose, I feel like she puts a wad on her. And then when they win, I don't think she gets the credit.
Those are the positions.
Yeah. That's what it is.
There's certain positions in sports. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't exist like that in every sport. Like I can't recall hearing an offensive guard being blamed for a loss in football.
Unless he had like an exceptionally poor performance.
But even then, there's so many other things that have to happen.
Or they blame the whole offensive line.
Right.
Like
it's really a thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then in baseball, it's rare that a right fielder gets blamed for losing a game or a team being bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Goalies, especially in hockey, there is an athletic arrogance required for you to accept a solid rubber frozen puck being lasered at your body at the velocity that NHL players
arrogance. That's the word.
Right. There's an athletic arrogance.
All right. I like that.
Well, but again, those are the special positions that where that sort of thing is required.
I feel like in football, would that be like kicker a little bit? Where like, you know, I feel like kickers can be completely blamed for games, though, if they miss like a game winning field goal or something.
Well,
it's not at the same degree.
Well, we always, as a coach in football, it's my fault for putting
it in that. Yeah. You never leave the game to the kicker.
Yeah. Like, why? No, there are other ways for me to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because a kicker will play 11 plays.
I'm more saying, you know, fans blame.
Yeah. Look, low hanging fruit. Yeah. If you don't understand that the offensive guard has way more to do with the result of a game than a kicker.
Yeah.
But if you're blaming the kicker, you missed the memo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you missed the memo.
Yeah.
In hockey, there are angles and there's a confined space that goalies have to work from.
Yeah.
Right. And again, there is an athletic arrogance. There is a mental.
I like that.
the idea is to know that I can remove whatever percentage of things that can go wrong from my team. Mm. Great coaches remove a higher percentage than not great coaches, depending on the sport.
Yeah.
Depending on the sport. Tennis, the arrogance that you are a great return of serve is phenomenal. That somebody's going to laser something at you and that you can not only see it, read it, react to it, get it back in play, and gain some advantage from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's alien.
Yeah, it's every time the ball. It's not like baseball where you can be like, oh, I'm just going to let it go this time.
Yeah.
Every time you have to.
It is the thing. It's in play.
Mm-hmm.
NHL goalies maybe. No, I can't go in that space. They're more concussed from taking shots to the face.
Interesting. Like football? You're saying like they're like football?
Yeah, because there's a lot of concussive action in being a goalie.
I don't think people understand how physical hockey is. Like, people that don't watch hockey that much, I don't think they get it.
Well, most people can't do what hockey players do on dry land. Let alone on thin skates on ice. Like, that was
on frozen water.
Right. Yeah. Like, to understand the athletic arrogance required to be able to take on a 220 pound man flying at you at 40 miles an hour against a plexiglass board.
Yeah.
And then still make a hockey play, which is difficult to do if you're just there standing on ground, moving a puck off a curved stick.
Like you do in PE.
Right.
We
forget. So I'm a fan. I tell people, go and try to move backwards in skates on ice.
I can't even move forward on skates.
Right. Like, I understand that there's brilliance.
I could, hockey's like the one sport. I nowhere in the realm that I could possibly do that.
When I was younger, again, I know I'm old now, but there's a time up until like 55 where I thought athletically, arrogantly, I could still do a lot of the things that I once did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm past that now. Like, that's, I now have that emotional maturity to say, wow, look at y'all go. Look at y'all go. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's impressive. Mm-hmm. And I'm always impressed by people who can do a thing that I can't do. Like, if I can do it, I kind of devalue it. Like, okay, running the route tree, get separation, catching one-handed passes, that sort of stuff. I'm never impressed by that because I can still do those things, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I can't run routes anymore. So now I give route runners all the credit because you're doing it with friction. You're doing it at a higher pace, high speed. To have somebody, if you've never had somebody want to put the pads on, which I got the chance to do, but they allowed me to do it without putting the skates on.
Yeah, I don't put those skates anywhere near me. Yeah. I don't want them.
well, but they give you the guards, which allow you to walk on them and not look like a moron. But I also had a carpet that walked me out to the goalie spot.
So you didn't have to go on the ice.
Right. Well, you don't go onto the ice until it's time for you to go in goal because I wanted to have somebody shoot a shot at me.
Why?
To know what it is.
Why would you do that to yourself?
How else do you gain knowledge?
You have to know.
You have to know.
I'm just willing to accept that I'll never know what that feels
like. But see, that's I think that may be a defining thing in who I am.
Yeah.
In that.
No, that's impressive.
Right. That I have this weird curiosity to know. Yeah. I want to know what it took to put a TV show together.
Yeah.
To put a movie together.
Mm-hmm.
To put a radio station together, to put a lineup together, to draw up a football play, to run, timeout, drawing up a basketball play, a game winning shot. In baseball, calling the right pitch at the right opportunity to get the desired result. To put a game plan together, a practice plan together. I wanted to know all those things so that when it came time to talk about it, I had some actual knowledge of it. And so I'll tell the story real quick before we go to break.
All right.
That curiosity, while beneficial for knowledge's sake, puts me in tough situations. I've told this story before on this station that I'm a pro wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know what it felt like to be in the ring.
You're a crazy man,
DP. I wanted to know what it was like to bounce. I wanted to know what it was like to take a slam. I wanted to know what it felt like to go off the ropes. I wanted to know. When we come back, I'll tell the story.
All right.
Of my getting in the ring with Ric Flair.
I couldn't do it.
I'll tell that story when we come back and finish out 101.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment. It's appropriate to have the John Cena lead in.
Mm-hmm.
The knowledge part of this thing, and again, there's a curiosity, and it's probably why I'm a pretty good coach. Is that I have a curiosity about things. Like I need to know. Like I need to have the grass in my hand, the dirt in my hand. I need to know rather than guess. And I said part of that was I was telling you the story of going one-on-one with guys from the NBA
and the
space between mortals and NBA players.
And like you say, like act like NBA players aren't mortal.
Yeah, like just like you have to just go, no.
They are people.
They're barely people. They're barely people. Anthony Smith from UFC, talk to him all the time. And if you've ever had a UFC fighter put his hands on you, you realize they're barely human. They're a version of humanity, but guess what? They ain't like you.
No.
Kendrick Lamar is telling the truth. They not like us. It's the reality. They are not like us. And so when I was in Charlotte, I actually lived across the street from Ric Flair. Ric Flair, literally, we were both on the corner in a cul-de-sac, and we were the two houses that sat side by side. And so we would do things together, and he'd come on. He was a big football fan, of course. And because of my TV show, I got to sit with him. And a big part of it was I wanted to know about wrestling. I wanted to, like, I'd heard stories and that sort of thing, but I wanted to know what it feels like. So we met at a gym, local gym that he and the great Ricky Steamboat owned. It's a Gold's Gym and had a wrestling ring in it. And I had my camera person, who would, whatever I did a vignette somewhere, she would shoot at Sheila, shout you out. And on this particular day, we're in the ring and we're just kind of on the ropes and just kind of talking. Cause it's pretty, like, if you're going to talk to a wrestler, you want to kind of be in their center.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "Have you ever just run across the ring?" I was like, "No." He's like, "Okay."
Uh-oh.
Now, when they start training pro wrestlers, the first thing they do is to see how you come off the ropes. Can you run across the ring, put your back, turn your body, get your back against the rope, push off that rope, gather yourself, be under control mid-ring so you can do whatever thing you're supposed to do mid-ring, or get to the other side and do the same thing. Then it's how many times can you do it without getting tired? Because if you're going to make a mistake, it's because you're tired.
Yeah.
Then they add stuff to it. Hey, can you do a backdrop? Can you jump over another wrestler and get to the other side of the rope? And you don't have the legs for it. If you're not a wrestler, there are pro athletes that can't do this. Plus, if you go against the rope wrong, it rips your skin off. Imagine every time a wrestler puts his bare back against this rope, if he does it wrong, it is going to tear. It's like a rug burn.
Yeah.
On your back.
Yeah, those hurt.
Yeah.
Those hurt.
So he allowed me to do that, and then he allowed me to do one time where he dropped to the middle of the ring and I had to jump over him, which I fell because the first time somebody flops and you're, one, just trying to keep your cool. But Ric Flair's renowned for slapping you across the chest with the back of his hand. Flair's chops are renowned. And as a wrestling fan, I know that. So I want to know what it feels like to be chopped by Ric Flair. So I get in the corner and he goes, "You sure?" And I'm like, "Yep, I got to know." My camera person is literally laughing at the car wreck that's about to happen. You know, and she's looking at me like you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Flair loads up and chops me across the chest. And I'm just going to tell you, my life flashed before my eyes because he's hitting you across the heart.
Yeah.
And I was in shape. I was in shape. So I was like, I can take it. I've got packed up. No. Wow. And I mean, the violence of that, it's worse than a heart punch because he gets to build up to it.
Do you think he gave full effort in it?
No.
And it still hit
you hard. No. And here's the thing. My legs were done. My legs were like, hey, bro, what are we doing?
Your legs were talking to you.
What are you doing, bro? Like, what are you doing? Like, we're about to bounce.
They're like, are you an idiot?
Like, we're not here. Wait, you're telling me you're an idiot. But the real difficult part was, and Flair asked the question, are you good? And I'm like,
no.
In my head, I'm like, no. But what came out of my mouth was, yes. And he goes, you want another one? Every grown adult should have just said.
There's no way you said yes.
Everything, any adult would have said, no, bro, I'm good.
Did you say yes?
What came out of my mouth was yes.
Oh, my.
And my camera girl is in tears laughing. He hit me again and my legs left and I collapsed. And to tell you that 3 weeks later, my chest was still blue and purple. But I now know that when somebody gets slapped across the chest, I know the price they pay. Mm-hmm. I know it. I don't have to ponder it. I know.
DB's a different breed.
Oh, yeah, dumb.
I mean, maybe a dumb breed at times.
Dumb breed. Oh, absolutely. Look, they say being courageous is a question. Thanks for hanging out with us on 1-to-1 UBT Financial Literacy. Ben will take us through that hour.
And then we got Art Show.
And then we've got Art from the Inside. Mm-hmm. Just community-wise, there's a big art festival last week, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask Jerry about that. We'll do that at 2 o'clock. That'll be the programming for the
next
hour.
And then Royals at 2:30.
And Royals at 2:30 here on The Ticket. I'm DP. We're out.
We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.